Today she is Masechet Ksubos Daf Kuf Tes. We will begin on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis, the bottom line, the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Paisik Mois L'chosnoi. Somebody promised his son-in-law money, to a nadin, a dowry, or pashat layas a regal, and then the father-in-law doesn't pay. Rashi gives two pshatim on pashat layas a regal, which will be relevant, very relevant in our understanding of the Mishnah. One pshat Rashi says a pashat layas a regal means that the father-in-law says to the son-in-law, wipe the dirt off my feet, meaning I don't want to pay. I promise that I don't want to pay. Another pshat that Rashi says is a pashat layas a regal, that circumstances beyond his control happened and he doesn't have the money to pay. So the Tanakhama holds, Teishvesh Atal Ben Roshay. This girl has to sit until she becomes old. She's unfortunate. Admin Oimer, Admin disagrees. Yechayel Hishatayim, the girl could say, Ila Ani Psakti Latzmi, had I promised the money, so it's understandable that Hivatal Ben Roishi, I have to be held responsible for what I did. However, Achshev Abba Posik, and my father promised, and he didn't deliver, Ma'ani Yechayel Lassus, what can I do that he promised and didn't deliver? And therefore she says to him, Oy Knois, Oy Ptar, either marry me or divorce me. Amar Rav Gamliel, on that Rav Gamliel comments, Ryan is the admin. I agree with admin's opinion. Now, says the Pnei Yeshua, we go back to our two pshatim that Rashi gave us in Pashat Layas HaRegel. It makes a very big difference. If pshat is that even in a case where he has the funds, he doesn't want to pay, admin says he still can have, she could still tell the husband, because my father doesn't want to pay what he promised, I shouldn't suffer. That's according to that pshat. According to the other pshat, admin is only saying his opinion in a situation where the father is in an unfortunate situation that he can't meet his obligation. But in a case where he can meet his obligation and still is not paying, maybe their admin will agree, says the Pnei Yeshua, admin will agree with the Chachamim, if the father could pay and he just not keeping his word, why should the husband, why shouldn't the girl suffer, and why shouldn't the husband have a right to say, Achatal Ben Roisha? Interestingly, Dramah, when he brings down this halacha, makes a number of interesting comments, all relevant l'halacha l'maisa. One comment the Dramah makes, what would be the halacha if the father of the girl is refusing to pay, as our Mishnah indicates, but the girl has her own money. She has money in the bank. Says the Ramah, then the husband could say to the girl, either pay, because you have the ability to pay, and if not, Teshuv Achatal Ben Roisha. Interesting Ramah. Another point that the Ramah makes is that after Nisuin, let's say the husband and the father-in-law entered into an agreement, and the husband got married, hoping that the father-in-law will pay, and then afterwards the father-in-law doesn't live up to his obligation. Obviously, the dinim of the Mishnah don't apply, and he has to deal, conduct himself with his wife like every husband and wife once they're married. The Hafla says even more than that. He says, our Mishnah is referring only to a situation where there wasn't Kedushin yet. He says, but once there was Kedushin, there was Erisin, even though there was no Nisuin, there the husband has to marry her if there was Kedushin, and even though he didn't get what he was promised. Dramah also goes on to say, important Dramah, that even though a father-in-law who promises a son-in-law whatever he promises has to meet his obligation, still, he says, he advises a son-in-law who didn't get what he was promised that he should still marry this girl, and he says that people who are insistent that if they're not going to get a certain amount of money, they're not going to get married, or they're going to make the girl the wife in Aguna, will not have success in life. Interestingly, there's a very interesting comment made by the Sefer Tiv HaKedushin. He makes the following comment. He says, nowadays, where we have the Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, it could be just the opposite issue. The girl's father promised, he obviously doesn't agree with the Hafla. They had Kedushin. The girl's father doesn't live up to his obligation. So we follow Admin's opinion. Is either divorce, or marry her. He doesn't want to marry her, but nowadays we can't divorce a woman, bal karcha, without her consent. And she's unwilling to accept the get. She's saying, I'm not willing to accept the get, I want you to marry me. So he says a chiddush, and so now the husband's stuck. He can't give her a get, bal karcha, but he can't marry another woman, because Rabbeinu Gershom also prohibited bigamy. So he can't take another wife. Says the Tivak Kedushin, in this case, the Chem Rabbeinu Gershom is not applicable, and he could give her a get bal karcha to give him the opportunity to marry another wife. However, the Rishayim ask a very fundamental question in understanding our Mishnah. We just learned the other day the statement that Rav Gidl Amarav made. Amarav Gidl Amarav. Kam atanoisin lebitcha, kach v'kach. Kam atanoisin lebincha, kach v'kach. Imdu v'kitshu, hein hein dvarm ha'niknu ba'mira. Which means that as soon as the father-in-law promised a son to the son-in-law, the Gemara taught us that even though they didn't have a formal kinyan, there is no need for a formal kinyan. It's already an obligation. So ask all the Rishonim. They have a difficulty understanding our Mishnah. They say there's two separate situations here. The father owes the son-in-law the money, father-in-law, because there was Heinein Dvar Maniktim Amira. But why should that impact the marriage? And they should get married, and then he should take the father-in-law to Din Torah. Why is one connected with the other? So the simplest answer is that the husband says, I don't want to go to Din Torah. I just want him to pay what he's supposed to. I don't want to have to go through the bother of a Din Torah. Another teretz that the Rishonim suggest is this halacha of Hein Hein Dvarim HaNikten Bamira. If we reflect on the words that I just repeated of the Gemara says, Imdu V'Kitshu, that there's no need for a kinyan, only if they become Mikuder Shois, they have Erisin immediately. But let's say the two Mechutonim negotiate, and the Kedushin, which is typical nowadays, is going to be later. So since the Kedushin don't take place immediately after the Kedushin, there is a need for a kinyan. And if there was no kinyan, that's the situation of our Mishnah. Another teretz offered by the Rishonim is that halacha only applies in a situation where, by the first marriage. And the explanation goes as follows. As we explained when we learned the Gemara, since the simcha of the chasen and kala getting engaged is very great, so as the Chazanish taught us, that accomplishes the same as a kinyan. It shows a finality, that this is a transaction they're willing to enter. But that's only by a first marriage, not by a second marriage. There is a requirement for a kinyan. Our Mishnah is referring to a situation where it's a second marriage, and there was no kinyan, and therefore, it's not a situation where the obligation is final. Says the Gemara, Masnis Ndloikai Tana. Our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of the following Tanya. The Tanya Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Loinechaku Admon V'chachomim. According to this Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, there is the machlokes between Admon V'chachomim, Ala Paisik Mois L'chasnai. Somebody promises money to his son-in-law, or Pashat Lai Yisregel, and then he refuses to pay, the different Pshatim we learned in the Mishnah. Sheikhai L'shitaymer, that the girl certainly could tell the Chasin, Abba Pasikalai, my father promised, Mani Chaylasis, what do you expect of me? Certainly, the girl, everybody agrees, why should this girl be an innocent victim? Aman Nechoku, where is the Machlokas of the Chum Admin applicable? Ashapaska Hi Alatzma, where she promised the money to the Chasin, and then she doesn't live up to her obligation. Shacham Aymrim, since she took such an obligation, and if she doesn't meet her words, she doesn't keep her words, Teshav Atcha Talbim Roshoi, then she should not suffer. Admin Aymer, and Admin disagrees. Yechayel Shati Aymer, she could say, Ksvur Anish Abba Nosan Alai, I was assuming when I promised this money that my father will meet my obligation. V'achsha Shein Abba Nosan Alai, and now that my father doesn't want to live up to that obligation, man nechaylasis, what do you want from me? And therefore, oik nois, oik tar. Either marry me or divorce me. So the Shit Mukabetzis quotes a Rashba that says that this understanding of the machloikis is only in a situation where the father was there with a girl, with a kala, took on this obligation. And therefore, according to the according to Admon, the girl could legitimately say, my father was there when I took on this obligation. He heard what I said. He didn't protest. So I legitimately assumed that my father would help me and give the money. And now he doesn't want to give the money. What do you want from me? However, in a situation, says the Rajba, where the girl took on this obligation and her father wasn't even there when she took on the obligation, it's certain that she has no right to say, I expected my father to pay. Why did you expect your father to pay? What gave you that idea? There, even Admon will agree, Teshir Atashat Talbin Raisha. That's how Rashi with the Rajba understand the Gemara. Tosfos has an entirely different understanding of Gemara, and Tosfos says that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where when the father obligated himself, the girl was there, and vice versa, the Bryce is referring to a situation where the girl obligated herself, but the father was there. And according to him, there's really no machlokes, the Mefarshim explained. The Mashah says, we're not going to learn with this pshat, between the Bryce and the Mishnah, there's much less of machlokes, because they're both taking on the obligation together. But we're going to continue learning with Rashi. I'm Rav Gamliel. So Gamliel comments, Royani is Divri Admon. I agree with Admon's opinion. However, says the Braisa, the Medvar Mamurim, again with Rashi's Pshat, that this Braisa is now qualifying this opinion. The Medvar Mamurim, when do we say this Machloikis, the Gedoyla, where the girl is a Gedoyla and she took on this obligation? Alba Ktana, if she's a Ktana, then we force him either to divorce or get married. So now the Gemara tries to understand this statement. Kaifin Laman, who are we forcing? Ilaim al-Av, it was saying we're forcing the father. So if anything, Ipchum Ebaile. Just the opposite. If the girl is a Gedoyla and her word is a word, so there it makes sense that we should force the father to pay. But if the girl is a Ktana and her obligations are anyway meaningless halachically, why would you force the father? Says the Gemara, El Amarava, says the Gemara, Kaifin Labal, Litain Get. Just the opposite. If the girl is a Gedoyla, and there her obligation is a serious obligation, so that's what a Chacham could say, that if you make an obligation, you have to keep your word. And if you don't keep your word, therefore you will unfortunately have to suffer. But in a case with a girl is a Ktana, so the husband should have recognized that this is a girl that's not really able to undertake obligations. She's a Ktana. Therefore, we tell the husband, you shouldn't have assumed you're going to get the money. How could you make such an assumption? She's a Ktana. And we force him to give a get. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, Mishmei de Chizkiyah, Kom Mokm Sh'Amar Rav Gamliel, Royan Yistivri Admon, wherever we find in a Mishnah. And let's go back to the beginning of our parak. The beginning of the parak taught us that there are two halachas in our parak that were stated by Chanon. There are seven halachas, we're still in the middle of them, stated by Admon. So now, what is the halacha? Says the Gemara, wherever we find, Kamakam Sh'amar Agamliya Roya Nistivri Admon, wherever we find Admon stating an opinion, and we have Rabbi Gamliel agreeing with that opinion, like in our Mishnah Braisa, the halacha is Kamaisai. That's the halacha. Amalei Rav Nachman, Afil Bebraisa. This statement that you just made, that wherever Admon says an opinion, and Rav Gamliel agrees with it, is that in a Mishnah, or is even if such a situation happens in a Braisa? Amalei Mikam Mina Bemishnah. Did I limit my statement in saying that this is the way to paskin only in a Mishnah? The Kamakam Shamar Rav Gamliel Kaminin. I say wherever you find such a scenario, that Admon is saying a halacha, and Rav Gamliel is agreeing, it makes the halacha follows the opinion, that opinion. And like Tosfos points out, what the Gemara here is saying is that both in the Mishnah and in the Braisa, we find that Admon cites an opinion, and Rav Gamliel agrees. But we can't paskin like the Mishnah and the Braisa simultaneously, because as we explained, the Gemara and the Mishnah and the Braisa disagree. What the Gemara is saying, says Tosfos, whether we'll assume or will know that the halacha, the opinion of Admon is cited properly in the Mishnah, or whether we'll know that the opinion of Admon is cited properly in the Braisa, which the Gemara doesn't go into that subject, Once we know that the halach, that's Admon's true opinion, since we find both in the Mishnah and the Braisa, as they're quoted, Rav Gamliel agrees with Admon, that will show us that that's the proper halacha. Continues the Gemara. The two places that we find in our Perek that Chanon says a din, halacha kiyotzba. The halacha follows that opinion. Why? So this story Rashi explains kiyotzba, and that's the pshat that we're going to follow. Kiyotzba means because in the both cases where Chanon said his opinion in our Perek, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai agreed with Chanon's opinion. And that's why, since we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai agreeing with Chanon, that's the halacha. Shivat var mishama Admon, the seven times that we find Admon saying halacha, ein halacha kiyotzba. The halacha doesn't follow that. Ask the Gemara, my kama, what does that mean? Ilay mocha kama. Shnei dvar mishama Chanon, the two dinim that Chanon said, halacha kamaitzai, ukiyotzba, the halacha follows him, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai agreed with him. Shivat varim, Shama Admon. However, the seven dinim that Admon said, "Ein aloch kamaisabai, the aloch is not like him, but like Yotzbai, nor like Rabbi Gamliel, who agreed with him." Says the Gemara, "Is that true?" V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar mishmei de Cheskia, "Kol makom shamer Rabbi Gamliel, roya ni yistivri Admon." Wherever Rabbi Gamliel corroborates Admon's opinion, aloch kamaisai. So how could the Gemara say that we never followed the opinion of Admon, nor of Rabbi Gamliel, who agrees with him? Here Rabbi Yitzchak tells us that wherever, in the name of Chizkia, that wherever Rabbi Gamliel agrees with Admon, we do follow that opinion. So Rabbi Shita asks an obvious question. The Gemara is asking a question from Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar mishmei de Chizkia on Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira was an Amira, Chizkia was an Amira, so Rabbi Zeira has the right to argue on Chizkia. So the Shita answers that Chizkia was one of the greatest Amiraim, and the Gemara doesn't want to end up in a situation, if it could avoid it, where Rabbi Zeira disagrees with Chizkia. And therefore the Gemara tries to understand Rabbi Zeira in a way that will not be in disagreement with Chizkia. Says the Gemara, Ela hachikam. This is the way to understand the statement of Rabbi Zeira. Shnei dvarim shama Chanan, the two dinim that Chanan said, Halacha kamaisa kiyotzbay. The halacha follows him because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai agrees with him. Shivat var mishama Admon. The seven things that Admon said, ein halacha kiyotzbay. The halacha is not like him. Hakamaisa halacha bekula. The halacha will follow him. In other words, what the Gemara is saying now is that wherever we don't agree. Wherever Admon says halacha, we agree with him. Says the Gemara, that can't be. Because v'amar Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar mishmei de Chizkia, kol makom she'amar Rabbi Gamliel roya ni yistivri Admon, halacha kamaisai. Only where Rabbi Gamliel says I agree with Admon, that's where the halacha is like Admon. Omer in, only if Rabbi Gamliel specifically said I agree with Admon, then is the halacha like Admon. Lo yam aloy. So how could you suggest, ask the Gemara, on this understanding of Rabbi Zeira, that the halacha will be like Admon, even in situations where Rabbi Gamliel doesn't agree with him? Says the Gemara, halacha kama. This is the way to understand. Final shot. Shnei dvarim shama Chanan halacha kamaisai uchiyotzbay. The two dinim that Achanan said, we follow that opinion, because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai agrees with him. Shivat dvarim shama Admon, the seven things that Admon says, yesh halacha kamaisai uchiyotzbay. Certain situations we find that Rabbi Gamliel agrees. We don't follow his opinion. What is the proba? Become makushem regamliel roy in this diver Admon. Wherever regamliel agrees with Admon, halacha kamaisai, then the halacha follows Admon. Enoch, however, if we do not have regamliel backing Admon's opinion, loy, then the halacha will not follow Admon. Says the Mishnah, ha'oyer el asada. We have a very interesting situation. There's a field that I am challenging belongs to me. And then, v'hu chasim l'ba'eid. But this field, in other words, Reuven is on a field, and I'm challenging that field doesn't belong to Reuven, it belongs to me. And now Reuven sells that field to Shimon, and in that transaction, I'm a witness. Admon Oimer, so the Tanakam, so Poshup Shat, what will we say? the fact that I signed as a witness is the greatest proof that I agree it's not his field. Because if I felt it's Reuven's field, how am I signing a transaction that Reuven's selling it? It's not his field. It's my field. Admin, however, disagrees. Admin says that my signing doesn't prove anything. Because Admin Omer, I could claim, Hashonin Noichli V'arishin Kasher Menor. Again, what is the situation? There's a field that Reuven is on. He's selling it to Shimon. And I'm a witness on the sale document. So why am I witness if I don't believe it's Reuven's? I believe it's mine. So Admin says, I could claim because I'd rather see the field by Shimon. Why would I rather see the field by Shimon? Because I want to go to the entire on this field, that it's mine. And I know it's easier to go to the entire against Shimon than to go against Reuven. And that's why I signed the document in order to get it to that status that it should be by Shimon, and then I'll have an easy dintara. Why'd you sign if you don't agree? And if once you sign, you lose any rights. And the Rishonim and Achronim explain the opinion of Chachamim. They say a number of examples. If I was just there when Reuven was selling the field to Shimon, but I didn't actively sign the document, doesn't mean anything. Just because I sat there and didn't say anything, even the Chachamim will agree it's meaningless. What will be the halacha, machlokes rishonim, in a situation where I signed the document, but I was only one witness? So some rishonim say that we all know that one witness is meaningless, and therefore I say I signed it, but I knew my signature is meaningless, because one witness has no meaning in halacha. Other rishonim say, why'd you sign it, even if you're only witness? And the Rishonim go on to say that according to the Chachamim, in a situation of Ibeid as a Chusoy, even if I have very strong proof that this field is mine, the fact that I signed on the transaction is conclusive evidence that I've given up all claims on the field. Now the Ramah discusses a third situation. The Ramah discusses a situation where I'm the third signator. And we know you only need two Edim. So can I say, my signature doesn't mean anything because I was the third signator? Or can we say, sometimes the third signator becomes relevant if one of the previous Edim become disqualified? So the Ramah paskins that if I'm the third signator, I could effectively claim my signature is meaningless. Three signatures are not needed, and there even the Chachamim will agree that I don't lose the right to make a claim on the field. However, now we have a different situation. Also simil acher, ibres chusay. So the way Rashi explains this case is like this. Reuven is selling a field of his to someone else. And when Reuven writes his deed, he has to write the boundaries of the field. So he writes, the field I'm selling, it's not this field. Borders the field that I'm contesting. And then I sign on the shtar. Here, for sure, you can't say that I signed on the shtar because I wanted to see the field end up by somebody else. It's not ending up by somebody else. Here, for sure, my signature of a document that says that this field belongs to Reuven is a clear evidence that I admit that it belongs to Reuven, and even Admin will agree that I have no claim. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. However, Omer Abaya, when is this discussion of the Mishnah relevant? Lo shenal eid. If I'm a witness that signed, Avo Dayan, but let's say I'm a Dayan that's certifying the authenticity of the shtar, Loi Iberes Chusay. That doesn't prove anything. The Tani Rav Chiya, because Rav Chiya explains, Eina Eidim Chosim El Shtar, Elam Ken Karua. A witness is not supposed to sign the shtar unless he read it. So I can't say that I didn't see what it says in the shtar. Can't be an aid without seeing what it says. But a Dayan who's just certifying the veracity of the Edim, Avala Dayanim Chais Mapish Lakro. So if just because I was a Dayan doesn't mean that I admitted or understood what it says in the Shtar. And there's a Machloikis Rishonim on this Gemara. Here the Gemara is saying that a Dayan doesn't have to read the Shtar when he's certifying the signature of the witnesses. How far do we take this halacha? Some Rishonim take it as the Gemara says. And they say when a Dayan is on a bezdin certifying a shtar. All he has to do is authenticate the signature of the edim, nothing more and nothing less. Other rishonim say certainly that's not enough, and they say that he doesn't have to verify every detail of the shtar, but he does have to verify the basic concepts of the shtar, who is the loiva, who is the malva, the core items. This Gemara, we're coming towards the end of Masechta Ksuba, so it's worth discussing this point that the Paiskim discuss. Here the Gemara says, Eina Edom Chaisim El Shtar, Edom are not supposed to sign a shtar, Elam Ken Karuhu. So the Paiskim, Rabbi Yoshev, many Paiskim discuss the Shaila, come to a wedding, and the Mechabed you to be an aid by the Ksuba. So Edom don't typically read the whole Ksuba, they just sign. But our Gemara just said, Eina Edom Chaisim El Shtar, Elam Ken Karuhu. So Rabbi Yoshev interestingly says, he says the Minig Yerushalayim is not like the minig by us here in Chutz La'aretz. He says, what happens in Yerushalayim is that the ksuba is read under the chuppah, and after the ksuba is read only under the chuppah, only then do the Edom sign the ksuba. And he says the basis for that minig is our Gemara, because we want the Edom to hear what the ksuba says, so we read it, they hear what it says, and then they sign. However, our minig is that the Edom sign the ksuba before the chuppah. The only reason, it's interesting to note, the Paiskim say, why is the ksuba read under the chuppah? This is a private document between the chas and the kala. They say the reason it's read, because as we know, we've discussed many times in our Masechta, that the ksuba, that we, unlike in the times of Shas, have Erisin and Nesuin, both essentially one right after the other. The Siddur Kedushin, the Brachas Kedushin, is the Erisin, and the Sheva Brachas are the Nesuin. We want to make a hefsik between the Erisin and the Nesuin. How do we make a hefsik? By reading the Ksuba. So now the question is, how does an aid sign a Ksuba without reading what it says? So there are Edom, I guess the ones that came to the Shir, that do read the Ksuba, but it's not typical. So some Paiskim say that the Masad Kedushin, who's preparing the Ksuba, should be careful to tell the Edom the core elements of the Ksuba. But that's also not typically found. So the Paiskim say the reason why the Edom don't have to read the Shtar Ksuba is because in the Shtar Ksuba is a form document. Every Ksuba is the same. We don't really have Ksubas that are unique to special to couples. We have a form document. So since the Edom, they were invited to the wedding, so they know who the Chas and Kala are, everything else in the Ksuba is boilerplate. Therefore, they don't have to read the Ksuba because there's nothing new in the Ksuba that they don't know. Continues the Gemara. Asar simin lachar. So our Mishnah said that in a situation where I signed a document that indicates that you're selling, that Reuven is selling the field to Shimon, and when Reuven indicates the border of his field, he says that this field that I'm contesting is the border, and he says that that field belongs to him. How did you sign the shtar? Why did I sign the shtar? It's clearly a proof that I have relinquished any claims. Amar Baya, Loi Shana La'achar. When is this a situation where Reuven is signing, selling a field to Shimon and using this field that I'm contesting as a border, as a way of indicating the borders? So why did I sign it? Avala Atzmai Lo Yibed Eschusai. Let's say Reuven is selling me a field. Not the field that we're discussing. He's selling me another field. But the way he's marking the borders is by using this field as a marker. And I agree. That doesn't prove that I relinquished my rights. Avala Atzmai Lo Yibed Eschusai. Damar, because I, why? How did I allow Reuven to say that if I don't agree? I have a very valid claim. I could say like this. This is the way Reuven wrote the shtar. And it's a seller's market. If I won't agree, I'm interested in buying this other field. And if I won't allow Reuven to write the shtar this way, Reuven won't agree to sell the field to me. So that's why I agreed, and that's not a proof that I relinquished my claim. Dorma, I have a right to say, if not that I allowed Reuven to do it, lo have a mazman lili. So what could have I done? Says the Gemara, Barlo Mimsimedo. Perhaps what I could have done is I could have told witnesses. We have this concept many times in Halacha. I could have told witnesses, I'm signing, but I'm signing against my better judgment. But I'm doing it because I have no choice. Says the Gemara, that's not a viable option. Because the klal is chaver chaver islay, the chaver islay. I didn't want to go to people and say that I'm signing the shtar, but I want you to know that I don't agree to this clause that says that this field belongs to Reuven. Because I was sure that once I tell this to people, that will go back to Reuven. And then Reuven won't want to sell me the field. And I'm anxious to get this field that I'm buying now. And that's why, even though I signed it, it doesn't prove that I relinquished my claim. Says the Gemara, Hahuda asa simalacher. There was a situation where somebody signed a document saying that this field belongs to Reuven. And when Reuven used that field as a border marker, and the person complained that he didn't mean it, he complained that he shouldn't have signed it, but he passed away. Veshachiv, he passed away. Vagma Petropa. But he had an administrator who assumed the executor of the will. This person is administering his affairs after he passed away. Also, Apotropos lekameid abaya. And the Apotropos came to Baya. Amalei asor simlacher ibitz chusay. So Baya told him, our Mishnah, the fact that this person had signed the shtar that indicates that the field belongs to Reuven, not that he was buying it, it was being sold to another individual. Our Mishnah, Gemara, taught us that's a clear indication, that's a clear proof that he has no claim. Omer, Eva, so the apotropos, who's now taking over the place of the person who passed away, says, Eva avunda yas mekayin. If this person were alive, what he would have said was, have a tom v'omer, tell him echor asisilach. Yes, he signed the document, but all he meant to do in signing the document was to agree that one row of trees belongs to this Reuven, not that the entire field. Amalei, so Abaye said, Shabbat Kamrit, your claim is a valid claim. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan taught us, then Tan V'Omer, when the person who signed the shtar comes and says, yes, I signed the shtar, but all I meant was to tell him Echra Sisilach, all I meant was that it's one row, Neman. However, says the Shita, if he meant to tell him, why is the star Shay Soda? So the Shita says it has to be a row that has in it the minimum dimensions of a field, which is Tisha Kabin, the man that could plant 9 Kabin. However, says now the Gemara, you are admitting, Mr. Apotropos, that the father admitted that a Telem belongs to Reuven. So Zil Havle Mias Telem Echod, give him at least one Telem. But that Telem, which would have been the border, had a very valuable row of trees on it. Havala Richvadikli. And the Apotropos wasn't willing to give that up either. Amalei, so the Apotropos comes up with another claim. Iav Avun de Yasmikayim, if he was alive, he would have said, have a ton va'omar, chazati v'lakachti mimenu. I bought it back. Yes, my signing indicates that it belonged to Reuven, but I bought it back from Reuven. Amalei Shapa Kamrit. So Abaye says that's a great claim. Dom Rabbi Yochanan, im tom v'omer chazati v'lkachtev. If he says, yes, I signed it, and my signature indicates that I did sell it to Reuven, but now I claim I bought it back, Neman. And therefore, he gets back the entire field. So Rashi explains, how does he get back the entire field? Pesha asa pesha hita. I'm the one that admitted that it belonged to Reuven, but I'm also the one that says that I bought it back. Says Rashi, say all the Rishonim asking Rashi, Pesha asa pesha hita, we go back to the beginning of the Masechta, works is when I make the claim, I also put a but into it. So that's why we believe it. Here, he signed the shtar who knows when, and now he's coming with a new claim. When do we say Pesha asa pesha? How can we say Pesha asa pesha hita under those circumstances? So the Rishonim answer that here we're referring to a situation where it wasn't a shtar makuyim. So the shtar that Reuven is basing his claim on is a very weak document. And therefore the Pesha Asa Pesha Hita could work, even though the counterclaim came much later, the Pesha Asa came much later than the Pesha Hita. ask the Rishonim if this is a legitimate way for the apotropis representing the assignment to get back the field. We know there's a cloud, b'chol ha'shas, the taninan li yisayman. We claim on behalf of yisayman. So why did Abaya wait for that apotropis to make this claim? Abaya, in the role of Bezdin, should have made this claim for the yisayman. So the number of answers given by the Rishonim. One answer given by the Rishonim say this, is that Abaya forgot this claim, and he needed that apotropis to remind him. Another teretz given, it's a little better, is that Abaya certainly would have made the claim. But certainly it's better when Abaya doesn't make the claim. He's the one that's supposed to be in the impartial Bezdin when the apotropis makes it. And therefore, the apotropis making the claim is a lot stronger. A third teretz is that this claim that the Gemara is saying that he could say chazartiv lekachtiv is only an acceptable claim when the person making the claim knows that that's the case. You can't make this claim on a shema, or maybe this was the case. So the apotropis who's saying, I know, I'm a bori, I know for sure this happened, the claim is a good claim. When the Abaye would have made it, he didn't know for certain that was the claim, and such a claim cannot be made on the basis of a shema. So commented Abaye, I'm Abaye, high man, the mocking apotropa, somebody who appoints apotropis, noikin kahai, this is a wonderful apotropa, the yodel afuki b'schus diasmi, he was such a talmud chacham that he ended up getting the field that we learned the Mishnah, the Gemara, should have remained by Ruvain's. By being able to make all of these valid claims, he ended up getting back the field that seemingly was lost. Says the Mishnah, Mi shalach l'medina siyam. Somebody went to Medina Siyam, for of the derech sadeyu. And what happened was like this. I have a field. Now, to get to my field, I have to get through someone else's field. So the way the Mefarshim explained the Mishnah is that I had rights to walk through someone else's field. I didn't have actual ownership on that somebody else's area. I had an easement that I'm allowed to walk through your field to get to my field. But now, I forgot where that path was. I should pick the shortest and best way, and that's the way I can continue getting to my field. Since I don't know which is the way, I forgot. So either I have no choice, I have to pay, or I should fly there. It's not the people who own the field around my field's problem. There's a shaila in the hafla. What's going to be the halacha where I come back and I say, I remember where my path was. There are four fields surrounding my field. And I say, I remember it was in the right field. It was a field on the right side. And the person, so now I make a vat. It's not just I forgot. I say for sure. And the other person says, you never had a way, you had a field here. I'm a muchzik that the entire field is mine. What would be the halacha? It's machlokes apayskim. But that's not the case of our Mishnah. The case of our Mishnah and Gemara is, well, I also forgot. So now the Gemara is assuming in the Havamina that all the fields surrounding my field are owned by one individual. So no matter where you turn, I have a right through your field. So ask the Gemara, my time of the Rabbanim, why did Rabbanim disagree with Admin? Shapa kama Admin. Admin's saying something that makes all the sense in the world. I certainly have a way to get through your property to my property, and I'm being fair, I'm doing it the most convenient, shortest route, and what's the shaila? Says the Gemara, there are four different people owning the four fields around me. And every person that I go to says, why are you coming to me? Your path was by my neighbor. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, so then we don't understand Admin. Aren't the Chachamim right that every one of these four people keep on pushing me to the other guy? And Rosh Hashanah said, you don't have to have four. Even if it was just two people, each one owning two fields, it would be the same one. Each one pushes me to the other person. Amarava, the situation is the Abed Osmikarba Arba, in a situation where these four fields are owned by four individuals who bought it for four individuals, or Abba Dosmikayachad, even if all four individuals bought it from one individual, Kulamaloi Pligida Matsumatchale. They could all push me and say, why are you coming to me? Go to my neighbor. Ki Pligi, the Shail of our mission is referring to a case, Bechad the Osmikayach Arba. Originally, the four fields around this field were owned by four different individuals. Now, it's owned by one individual. Admin Sover, become Makum Dak Isli Rigabach. Now there's one individual owning all four of these fields. So now I have a legitimate claim to tell this individual, I have a path through your property. Rabbanan Savri, and Rabbanan say, Ishaskishaskis, either be quiet. This one individual says to me, I have no claim. Viloi Mahadrin Ishtar Lamaroi. If not, I'll reverse the sale, and it'll be four people owning the four fields, and then they'll each push you one from the next. So now, Rashi makes an interesting comment. That even according to the Chachamim, who say that even though it's one person owning all the surrounding fields around this field, but since he bought it from four individuals, he has a right to say, he says to me, either buy a field from me, if you're not going to buy the path from me, if you don't buy the path from me, I'm just going to reverse the sale. Says Rashi, what happens now? We make a compromise. I tell this one individual, give it to me for a cheaper price. I'm not going to be able to get it for free, because for free you're going to just reverse the sale. But you don't want to really reverse the sale. You bought the field to keep. So give it to me for a cheaper price, and that's what they conclude with. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Other Rishonim say that pshat doesn't work, because our Gemara says, according to Chachamim, the Mishnah said, according to Chachamim, yiknu meimono. In fact, how do we explain Rashi? According to Rashi, I negotiate a better price. Rashi says what the Gemara means to say, and the Mishnah means to say, and the Mefarshim explain, according to Rashi, is that I say the following. Let's make a deal. Because if we don't make a deal, and you have to reverse it, you'll lose, and I'll lose. You'll lose that you won't have the fields anymore, and I'll lose that once it's owned by four different individuals, I'm going to have to pay much more. Says the Gemara. Ha'udah amadik lilibras. Somebody says, a person was passing away, and he's going to apply Hilchus Yerusha that we discussed just yesterday, everything goes to the son. He says, I want one date tree to go to my daughter. Ozu Yasmi Palgul Nachsi. The sons went and divided up the entire estate. Lo Yavale Dikla, and they didn't leave over any date tree for the daughter. Sovra of Yaisalame Mahanamas Nisan. Each son could push her to the other one. Just like when we say when there are four owners, that each owner could push this person with a path to the other one. Each owner could say, if the four fields around this field, around my field, are owned by four different individuals, every individual I approach could say, why are you coming to me? Go to my neighbor. Here, it all started with one estate. They had no right to divide up the estate until they assigned her a dekel. My takantayu, leisla dekla, they should undo the division of the estate, give her a dekel, and then then redivide up the estate without that dekel in it. Says the Gemara, Ha'udah amadikla lebras. There was somebody that said, I want to leave over a palm tree for my daughter. Shachav v'shachav trei pagla dekel. He died, but upon examination of the estate, there was no whole dekel tree. There was only two half dekels. So Yosef Rav Asher Kokashle. This is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Mikari l'inchi trei pagli the dikli dikla. Do people call two half diklas a dekel? And therefore, we assume when the father said, I'm leaving for my daughter a dekel, he meant these two half dekels? Oiloi. Well, two half dekels don't mean a dekel. And since when upon examination of the estate, there is no one whole dekel, she gets nothing. Amalei Ramatchel Ravashi, Hacha Amar Avim Megrunim Mishmei Derava, Kari Inchle Trei Dagli Dikla Dikla. A person calls two half dekels a dekel, and doesn't mean that since there was no whole dekel, we can't fulfill his wish. We give it the two half dekels. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. Dritva explains the Gemara differently. He says what that the Gemara is saying is different than altogether. A father said, "I'm leaving over a dekel tree for my daughter." And then he passes away. And when we examine his estate, we see there are a number of whole decals, and there are two half decals. Could the sons, not such nice guys, go and say, you know, when our father meant to give you a decal tree, he meant to give you these two halves. She would certainly prefer one whole. No, our father meant the two half. Or could she claim, my father said a decal tree, he meant one whole. Says the Gemara, they could legitimately claim that our father meant two halves equal a whole, and they also get us the two halves and nothing more. What would be the halacha, the Rishonim discuss, if the father died and he only left over a half a dekel? Do we say, since there's only a half a dekel is not a dekel, and then she gets nothing? Or do we say she'll get at least that half dekel? The Rosh says that if the father died and all he left over was a half a dekel, she'll get at least that half dekel, better than nothing.